You're listening to Called to Homeschool with Karin and Meg, episode number 5. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. Hey there, welcome back to Called to Homeschool. We're excited to be back for episode number 5. And this topic, we say this I think every single time, but I think it's very important.
Yes.
So we're talking about how to keep things simple, but first we're going to do some shameless little plugs.
Yes.
Because why not?
Because we have you hooked now and now you're going to listen to us. So here's my shameless plug. As you know, I am a life coach. If you don't know, you know now. And I am a life coach that actually helps homeschoolers. What? Did you see that one coming?
So, cool.
So I have a coaching program I do with people one-on-one. And it's this really awesome program. And we meet usually through Zoom. And we go through some of your concerns and how to conquer them. But really, we teach you how to solve. I guess we, I'm saying we because my lovely friend Karin's here.
I don't do it.
Yeah. But I teach you how to conquer and solve any problem within homeschool, with running your family, and helping you to have a high functioning family. Your family really is your corporation. And just like any good corporate leader, I teach you how to be the amazing mom you already are. Maybe you just don't know it yet, but I help you to see that. So Karin, she, you may or may not, if you've ever been on Pinterest and Googled anything, if you looked on Pinterest for anything homeschool related, Karin always comes up. I actually had it happen to me last week for co-op. I needed a cute idea and I'm like, teach beside me.
It always
I know that
me
one.
Happy when people tell me that. But yeah, so I have a blog. Megan has a blog as well.
I do. Thehippiemama.org.
And I blog at Teach Beside Me. And it's my fun little creative outlet where I come up with just creative teaching ideas. That's, you know,
that's an understatement. Like amazing teaching ideas.
Oh, you're sweet. But I just love it. It's for me, it's become a passion to be able to find innovative and creative ways to teach concepts that may be boring or hard.
Yeah, I was going to say
my kids cry.
You simplify it so anybody could teach it, but it's a fun and engaging way.
Yeah, that's my goal because I really, really want kids to love learning, not just my own, but all kids. Because the more you learn, the more you know.
Yes.
The more you read, the more places you go. Sorry, I had to finish that one.
And I've totally utilized her site so many times for co-ops. And I'm like, I need this. Or if you've ever seen, I think Huffington Post covered it, her periodic table.
Yeah.
And I was teaching a science class and I said, done. Where is it? I scoured Karin's site, downloaded it.
It's a periodic table battleship game. And it's tons of fun. If you're teaching chemistry, you got to try it out. Or
yes.
If you're not and you just want to introduce it to your kids, it's fun for that too.
Yes. So,
so
check her out.
So it's a fun site. Come on by. I also have a lot of educational principles that you can, if you sign up on my subscriber email list, you get them for free often. So
yes, she's way awesome. I am a subscriber. So, all right. This is going to be a shorter episode because it's all about keeping it simple. And so I like to remember when keeping it simple is to kiss. Keep it simple, sisters. So whenever somebody comes up with these big elaborate schemes and ideas, I always say, let's kiss. And they always think that's inappropriate. And I'm like, no, keep it simple, sister. You don't need to always make everything grandiose, everything over the top, or you're going to burn yourself out. It's not to say don't do anything really big, but pick what you're going to do. And homeschooling is a day-to-day thing. And if you do over the top and grandiose every day, you will burn yourself out. So I wanted to, when I started homeschooling, I didn't know what to do for language arts and I don't know, remember the name of the program and I'm not going to tell you cause I feel bad cause it was awful. And you had to watch a DVD of this lady teaching you, phonetics. And so she would have a chalkboard and speak very slowly and you had to watch it.
People are going to figure it out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't love it. I was trying not to say the name of it, but it was terrible. So I would spend hours the night before watching this. Or one time I thought it'd be like, I'm going to be this amazing mom, right? Like I always tell myself, I'm an amazing mom. I just do what amazing moms do. So my kids and I, we created the City of London and with paper and we did everything really
amazing.
And then I lit it all on fire and my kids were bawling. And I said, no, this is the great fire of London. And the houses were so close together. It's why I was able to burn. And then I asked my kids, we did this years ago, and I asked my kids about it, and they said, you did what? And I said, I burned our city down. And not one of them remembered we did it. And I put in a lot of time and work into creating the city of London. So I actually asked my kids, I asked 5 of the 7 of what are their highlights of homeschooling, because they've all done it for so many years. So I thought this was interesting because it is not what I thought I was going to hear, because I thought it was going to be some of these amazing things I did. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, it is not. So my oldest said his favorite was just being with the family. And he loved the flexibility so that we could go do things. He didn't just have to just sit and do school, that he had flexibility of doing his schoolwork. My next son said, and this one made me laugh, his favorite thing about homeschooling was all the hikes we did. And I go, wait a minute, it was nothing. It wasn't school. And he goes, no, there was this one after we had, I always call him Master on Instagram, his real name is George. After we had Master, we went on a hike, and he goes, that hike was my absolute favorite thing we've ever done homeschooling. I just thought, what? Like, okay, that wasn't homeschool. Let's see, Bella, my daughter, she said her favorite is the way we sing songs, and that I'm never normal. When we sing songs, there's always an elaborate dance, and I scratched the microphone, sorry. There's always a big elaborate dance, and it's over the top. It requires zero prep work, but it was us having fun and laughing. My next son, he was the only one who said something academic, so way to go, Josh. He loved the Shakespeare plays my kids have made. And if you're on my YouTube channel, check out our wonderful / worst ever Shakespeare plays, where I think it's in Much Ado About Nothing. I can't remember now off the top of my head, but my son Porter fights himself in a battle scene. And like we teased Tess because we said she swore in the whole thing. She says, oh my gosh, what the heck just happened? And so she says like, what the heck are you doing? A lot. And so we laughed that it's the PG version. So that was his favorite Shakespeare plays. He actually said he loves read aloud a lot, which surprised me as well. And he goes, well, the good books, because he doesn't always have the best attitude with read aloud. But he said Hatchet was his favorite read aloud. That is a good one. And then Minute with Mom. He said that's one of his highlights. So that one was me, but it's also me being weird, and it's him talking about what he's interested in, and we're not actually learning it with Minute Mom. He's just checking in. Yeah. And then my daughter Tess, her favorite thing was playing outside when she has a lot of energy. Those are their highlights.
She loves the breaks.
She loves the breaks, and she like going out. She said and being weird with her brother and doing fun things like that. But so just a quick thing with that. Those are my kids' favorites, and my oldest two are in college classes, and they're doing it and they're passing it and they know how to learn. And so even though
they're smart kids,
they're figured out life, even though their favorite thing of homeschooling wasn't necessarily the education. So I've really kept more things simple of connecting with them, teaching the basics and teaching them how to learn.
Yeah.
So now Karen has some great
when
tips.
I started homeschooling, I started, like I've mentioned, reading a lot about all the different possibilities and all the things that I could teach. And so I decided to teach all the things, every single one of them, to my first child. And our day was so full of so many things. And there were days that we couldn't even finish reading all the books I decided I needed to read to my 5-6-year-old, you know? And I tried to do history every single day and science every single day and typing and foreign language and everything.
He needs to know Latin by 7.
Right, definitely. So that's how I started. I tried to do it all and slowly began to realize that I couldn't do it all, especially as I added in more kids, but also that it was too much for him and for me. And when I simplified and when I scaled back, our days were much easier, not only easier, but calmer. And we actually accomplished a lot more because there was less to stress about.
I was going to say, and then there's less contention.
Yeah,
like, I can do this.
A lot less contention. I was more stressed when I felt like I had to finish this stack of books, and it's just made everything a lot better around our home. And you don't have to do every subject every day. I think that's really important.
Or even every year.
Yeah, that's okay too. And you can do less and still cover a lot. And so that's really an important thing that
it's really quality over quantity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that once I realized that, I felt a lot less mom guilt too, when I just kind of let go of those expectations of covering every single thing that there was to cover. And I feel like my kids have even said this, that when we simplified, they really enjoyed school a lot more. Mm-hmm. And our years, the last few years, have just been really calm and a lot simpler. And it's been really peaceful for us. And I like that.
Yeah, me too. I love it. So we have 5 practical tips of teaching you how to kiss, which, remember, keep it simple, sisters. So the first tip I have is to teach your kids to be independent learners. You do not have to teach every subject to your child.
Yes.
My oldest, I have so many children, they get mixed in the shuffle, but my 5th and 6th grader do, I would say, 95% of their school on their own. And I just check with them the next day, and even their math, I only do it with them every blue moon if they need help. If they get stuck on a problem, I say, did you YouTube it? Did you check this? And they know I'm going to ask those things first. So I encourage your kids to be independent learners, so they're not relying on you for everything.
Yeah, and this is important for me too. We do this as well. And my oldest, who's 9th grade this year, really does everything on his own.
Yes.
Except our morning devotional. He's with us, but he does everything else entirely on his own. And I obviously am checking in on it and making sure he's doing okay on it, but he's completely
awesome.
Independent on his learning. My 6th grader probably is about the same, 80-90% of it mm-hmm. entirely on her own, and does a good job with it. And she's okay. We'll talk more about, the lying and the trust issues. Some of those things have come into several of our kids. But for the most part, once you teach them those skills, they'll really be able to do it on their own. And it's a beautiful thing. It makes your life a lot easier as well.
Okay. So tip number 1 is to teach your kids to be independent. Tip number 2, relax. Go off the mood of your home. So if your kids need a break, I'm giving you permission right now to take a break.
Yes.
If they are crying and you're saying, do this, nobody's going to learn anything. And it's not going to help your relationship, and they're not going to learn a subject.
Yeah. And maybe it's your mood that day as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm the one with the mood, and I come at them, and then I realize maybe I need the break today, and it's okay for you to do that as well, or to maybe take school somewhere different. Like sometimes for us,
it's
taking it into the backyard with a big blanket and sitting out there to do it makes everything so much better somehow, or taking it to the park, or instead of doing it at all, going on a hike.
Right. Apparently that works for my kids.
it works for us too. Sometimes you just really need those days. And every so often my kids will just remind me, we haven't been on a field trip in a long time. And so we'll remember that, and we'll take those breaks when they're needed.
I also think be ready, relax. And if they are ready for more, I know this has happened to us a lot with read alouds, mm-hmm. that they are just loving the book. You're into the most exciting part of it. And they're like, read another chapter. Mm-hmm. So going over in one subject and cutting something else out that day.
Yeah.
Missing one day of science is not going to do anything.
No.
Yes. So that's tip number 2, relax.
The next one, tip number 3, is the buddy system. And this is something we both use in our home, where she's a little more formal about it. But me, if I need help, I'll call on my bigger kids to help the younger kids with their schoolwork when they're needing help. For instance, math. I know that my 6th grader can help my 2nd grader with his math if needed, and I'm not available. So that's a great thing to use to help you a little bit.
Yes. In our buddy system, you actually have an assigned buddy. When you have 100 children, it's easier to do, but you're actually in charge of making sure they get their chores done. If they need help with school, the buddy is there that I can say, hey, your buddy is struggling, because the older ones I kind of mentored. And so now I'm giving those, my older 3, an opportunity to mentor the younger 3. So we utilize the buddy system.
Yeah, that's system.
That's tip number 3. And that kind of goes along with tip number 4, which is housework.
Yes. So I think it's really important for kids to be doing a lot of the chores, because
if
they're
not all
home
of them.
All day messing up your house. If you send kids off to school, they're not there to make the messes all day. But when they're home with you all day, cooking and, getting out everything that they're using.
Building a fort to do school in that day.
Yeah, for sure. We've done that a lot too. Then they need to have a bigger responsibility of cleaning the house and doing those chores. And so I have my kids do a lot of chores and a lot of cleaning around the home, because they can handle it and they're home to be able to do it.
Well, and you can teach them.
Yes.
And you are there. And I actually call them tutorials. when I have done tutorials of how to put away Tupperware. Mm-hmm. And they know that if they don't do it right, they're going to get another tutorial mm-hmm. of how the big ones go on the bottom and the smaller ones go on yes. top. And I do a lot of tutorials of how to clean things. I'm really fun. So anyway, that's a good one is housework.
Yeah. And that's going to simplify your life in so many ways too. Once they've learned the skill, it's harder when you're still in teaching mode with them, but once they've learned the skill, it's going to make your house go a lot
yes.
smoother.
Yes. And I always like to say they're not professional cleaners. Nope. They're subpar cleaners, but at least I'm not doing it.
But it's better than not done at all.
Yes. Okay. The last one, I always feel like this should be a wrap. FOMO.
FOMO.
Do you know what FOMO stands for? It sounds cool.
Fear of missing out.
Do you
have that fear?
Yes. I think a lot of homeschoolers, because they're not in the system where you have assemblies and costume parades, there's a lot of fear that you're missing something. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of homeschoolers are guilty of putting in their kids in everything.
Yeah. And, there's going to be, because you're homeschooling, you'll probably be associated with a lot of groups and everyone will come at you with, look at this art class or look at this debate class or look at this, whatever it may be, all yes. these fun, good things.
They're all good things.
Really good things, but you can't do all of those things. And I've had to learn that. There've been times where I've filled us with more and it just heightens my anxiety and stress level more than it helps us, I think, in any way, because then we're too busy to get the regular stuff done that we need mm-hmm. to do every day. And I am one that likes to keep my life a little calmer and simpler in general. Anytime there's another big new thing coming at me, I have to reevaluate, do I really have time to fit this into our day? And is it worth it for what we will get out of it?
That's a really good way to look at it. I actually just have a one thing you can be in rule.
We've done that for the most part as well. Yes. My kids are all doing piano lessons. I do have, my daughter is also doing Irish dance, but only because it's at our neighbor's house and she can yes. walk there. And so I don't have to drive her and it doesn't take any time out of my day. And she adores it. It's been a good thing for her and it's cultural as well, which is a good thing. So yeah, but for the most part, we also just do the one thing.
All right. So my friends, remember to kiss. Keep it simple, sisters. And that is our episode for today. And remember, mamas, you have got this, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe, and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.